fuck hit me. Where am I? Holy shit. Is this still recording? Listeners, this is Duncan from the podcast Under the Stairs. And if I'm right, I'm back under the stairs. Yeah, what the fuck is going on? Last thing I remember, I was recording a message from my prison. I'd made it back to the void room. And that's all I remember. I remember something hitting me in the back. But I appear to be... I'll just check a second here. Yeah, the door opens. I appear to be back under the stairs. This is fucking weird. I don't know what's going on. There's a message here. Right. Interesting. I'll come back at the end of the show and read what the message says. Until then, hope you enjoy this show. This is weird. I don't know if I'm back or not. It feels real. Time will tell, I suppose. Cue the show. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone, and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is a special bonus episode. I am your host Duncan McLeish, and welcome to the show. This bonus episode will be looking over some of the things I managed to check out over October while we were doing the Baz v Halloween segment, which consumes that month entirely. I did get a chance to check out some movies out with the ones we discussed on the show, and I have picked 4 movies from my list of 31 that I checked out, all new movies from this year that I checked out over October. I picked out 4 that I thought were worth mentioning and that you should check out if you get the chance. So I will be reviewing those, kind of short reviews of those movies coming up later on the show. But as you can hear, and you've probably heard from the audio message at the very start of this episode, I'm back under the stairs. Fuck knows how that happened. I genuinely don't know. Later on, I will play a clip of what I recorded earlier on today when I realised I was back. A note which was left by my captors, and I think you guys will want to hear that. But in the meantime, can I just say how fucking great it is to be back, and just in time as well. Next week, myself and the Baz will be recording his anniversary show, his 2-year Baz v Horror anniversary show, and it requires alcohol, and I think we'll be able to record it in the same place, unless Baz has moved in the last year that I've been gone. But we'll be doing that anyway. We will be answering some questions. There's still time to submit those questions. Only a couple of days, mind you. But check the Facebook page. I'll be posting stuff over there. The competition is now... the competition's now over. If you haven't submitted your Ola sexy, insert funny comment here, bitches entry by now, by the time of this show airing, then unfortunately you've missed out an opportunity to win a We Are Still Here Blu-ray in the UK and one in the States. We will reveal the winners on the show with Baz. Looking forward to that as well. Looking forward to seeing him. God knows the length of his beard now. I've been gone for a year, so it could be down to his arsehole, for all I know. Which is a weird thing to say, because that's where your hair would... I don't know. I just imagine him as being some sort of cousin it. Just a mass of hair. Except his head. Like, hair from his beard down, consuming the rest of his body. But this baldy, shiny dome on top. And he's not bald, I know, Baz, right? If you're listening to this, you're not bald, but you kind of are. So I don't know, but yeah, it's great to be fucking back here under the stairs. Oh my god, this just, it's quite surreal. But next week, back with the Baz. And there are tons of things coming up on the podcast Under the Stairs before this year is out. I will list them all at the end of this show. But I think it's time I took a bit of a break. You guys hear some promos for shows that I love. And when I return, I'll be talking about the first two movies from my list of four movies that I've selected that I watched over October that I think that you guys should check out. I'll be right back to discuss those movies right after this.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.KrugerNation.com.
Oh, good God! A butthole casserole!
72 movies that shocked a nation and made an infamous list, the Video Nasties. Hi, I'm Duncan McLeish, and you can join me and my co-host, Andy Blockley.
Hello, hello.
As we chat about the 72 films, reviewing them all from the Video Nasty list, live on our podcast. Tell them about it, Andy.
Okay, 1982. 20,000 films were seized in London alone because they were too nasty to be watched. Come and find out why.
That's right. The show's called Doing the Nasty Podcast. You can find it exclusively on the Horrorphilia Network of podcasts. Come and check us out. And welcome back. So, like I say, over October, I managed to check out a multitude of films. Some were good. Some were bad, some were awful, and some were outstanding. So I'm going to talk to you about four films that I watched over this time period that I genuinely think are really great examples of the genre and how expansive the genre is, I think is probably the right word. These four movies cover quite a huge stretch of the horror genre, even maybe into fringe horror, like this first movie that I'm going to talk about. So I managed to check out a movie called The Gift, which was directed by Joel Egerton. It was also written by Joel Egerton. And the movie has a pretty good cast, to be honest with you. It has Jason Bateman in the lead role, but has Rebecca Hall, and Joel Egerton plays the main antagonist, if we want to call him that. Alison Tolman, Tim Griffin, Busy Phillips, other folks are in the movie. But the synopsis is listed on IMDb as a young married couple's lives are thrown into a harrowing tailspin when an acquaintance of the husband's past brings mysterious gifts and a horrifying secret to light after more than 20 years. So it's more a thriller, if I'm being honest, more kind of thriller mystery than it necessarily is a horror movie, but it does kind of evoke a lot of the kind of fringe horror stuff of the kind of late 80s, early 90s. We're getting a lot of movies with them, which were thrillers, but you could maybe classify them on some level as a horror. And certainly what happens to some of the characters in this movie are horrific. So it's maybe my only justification for sweeping over here. It is a very loose horror movie, if I'm being honest. If someone said to me it's not a horror, it's a thriller, I don't think I could argue with them. But the premise of the movie is that Jason Bateman's character Simon and his wife, played by Rebecca Hall, who's called Robin, move back to LA. They've been away from LA for quite a while. Jason Bateman's character has kind of started to become a bit of a mover and shaker in the home security kind of side of things and business security, and he has moved back there for the promise of a potential promotion which will be huge for him and his wife. When they arrive back, we find that when they're out shopping for furniture and stuff for their new house, they bump into Joel Egerton's character. There's a guy called Gordo who used to know Jason Bateman back at school. And Gordo takes a kind of enthusiastic sort of interest in their lives, trying to kind of bring himself back into to Simon's life, maybe a bit more forcefully. And as the movie goes on, I'm not going to spoil this one, because this one does need to be kind of seen, because there's a good few twists and turns in the movie. Basically, where we end up is that we have the wife, Robin, being suspicious as to why Jason Bateman's character is quite reluctant to allow Gordo kind of friendship status and around to the house and stuff, why he's so vehemently against this when Gordo is a bit of a kind of overbearing presence, but he's not a bad guy, or is he? And as the movie progresses, we start to find out a bit more about that character and what has happened to him. I think it's great. I think for those that know Joel Egerton, you will know his face. He's been in quite a lot of movies. I don't know if this is his first time directing, but if it is, then it's excellent. It's a Blumhouse production, so I would imagine that there would have been a limited budget. I think Blumhouse limit everything to about $5 million. But standout performances from Jason Bateman, who is an actor that I can take or leave. I think his comic timing is usually impeccable regardless what he's in, but to see him play a more straight performance in this movie, it was quite fascinating. And I really was quite surprised by that. Joel Egerton is just wonderfully creepy in this movie, so I think there's enough in this movie from my perspective to not only recommend it but put on a kind of must watch for 2015. It's not the most original story in the world, and it does kind of feel like a lot of those 90s thrillers. But at the same time, I think where the movie's strengths lie is that the ending to this movie, even I saw it coming, but the ending of this movie still kind of floored me. Some of the twists and turns are wonderful. The acting is great. And yeah, I think it's just a strong recommend from me. I think you guys should go and check out the movie and come back to the Facebook page and let us know what you think. I think it is now out. It certainly has been out on Blu-ray for over a month over in the UK, but I think it's now out on Blu-ray, potentially VOD in the States now, so no excuse not to go and check this one out. This one gets a strong recommend from me. So the next movie I'm going to talk about is The Final Girls, which also, like I say, came out this year, because they're all 2015 movies. It was directed by Todd Strauss-Schulzen, written by Emmy Fortin and Joshua John Miller. And this movie has a cast which is also pretty good. Taissa Farminga, can never pronounce her name, Malkin Ackerman, Alexander Ludwig, Nina Dobrev, Alia Shawkat, Thomas Middle, where's Bass, we need him for the pronunciations, Adam Devine, other folk. The synopsis for this movie: a young woman grieving the loss of her mother, a famous scream queen from the 1980s, finds herself pulled into the world of her mum's most famous movie. Reunited, the woman must fight off the film's maniacal killer. Now, this one has been surprisingly divisive online. I don't know how people could hate this movie. If you're a horror fan, I don't know how people can hate this movie, other than it's maybe not graphic enough. The movie's a PG-13 in the States. I imagine if it got over here, it would be a 12A, I think, potentially. Maybe a 15 at a push. But if that was your gripe, that there wasn't enough nudity and there wasn't enough blood, I would argue back to you that there is a wealth of movies out there that will give you tits and ass and blood easily, but not the heart that this movie gives you. This movie kind of reminds me, in a lot of respects, Stage Fright from last year, which was a movie I loved, and a lot of people didn't. And I can see why people didn't get on board with it. It was a musical, and some people didn't like the idea of the musicality in the movie. I can get that. This movie kind of feels like, on some level, a weird kind of Glee hybrid to an extent, in terms of the way the characters are portrayed. But I found myself liking all the characters in this movie, which is something I don't often see. The character development was pretty great. I thought Taissa Farminga, her relationship with her mother in the kind of present time and the previous time, I think is phenomenal. I think she's actually a really good actress. I don't think American Horror Story has really given her the kind of room to breathe as much, but I thought her performance was great in this movie. It's cheesy, yeah, it's cheesy, it's over the top. There's plenty of cliches in here which nod to the kind of camp horror movies of A Sleepaway Camp or The Burning or Friday the 13th. I mean, it's all in there, but it plays with the ideas. And I think that's maybe where I start to enjoy it. I think some of the special effects are a bit ropey, some of the CGI isn't great. But when the movie finished, and there is a tease at the end of this movie that there could be a sequel, I felt that, you know, that is a movie that I would want to see. I'd want to see The Final Girls 2. I would want to see that movie tomorrow if it was made. And I don't often feel that way about movies. Like I say, the general premise of the story is that a young woman who has lost her mother, who was a famous scream queen, just like it says in the IMDb synopsis, her and her friends are at a showing of the movie when an accident happens, and they're catapulted very Last Action Hero style into the movie. But the movie is fixed in a loop, so if they don't play by the movie's rules, then it resets to the point where it logically makes sense for the characters to reset to. And the movie plays out that way. It plays out the entirety of the movie. And I just thought it was a lot of fun. Some of the characters are over the top comical. And it is a comedy. It heavily hints more. It's maybe a comedy with horror elements than it necessarily is a horror comedy. But yeah, I found myself really digging this movie. Soundtrack was bitching. Design of the character was the killer was ridiculous, but some of those killers from the 1980s, it was like any excuse to put a weird goofy mask on them, so I kind of forgive it that. Some of the characters, like I say, very very funny and goofy, but the relationship between Firminga and her mother was brilliant. I thought that was excellent, so yeah, it's a strong recommend from me again. Like I say, this one, I've seen plenty of people complain about it. I don't know what you're complaining about. Well, I do know what you're complaining about, I just don't see eye to eye on that one. This one was a ton of fun as well. It's another strong recommend from myself. Now, I think what we should do is probably take a short break just now before I come back to talk about my next two movies. But what I've decided to do on this show is play some music in the break as well as the promos, because there's no time filling here with trailers for movies. So we're going to have some music, and the first track that we're going to play is by a listener of the podcast Under the Stairs. He has won competitions here, he's very active and vocal on our Facebook page, and he's also got a new project just now that on Halloween launched their debut single music video, which was directed by none other than Gav Chucky Steele, who hosts a podcast on the Legion Podcast Network. That's the podcast on Haunted Hill. If you've not checked that show out, you need to go and check that out. He's also a bit of a gifted filmmaker, directing a movie called The Shadow of Death, which we did a Legion commentary on a while ago, like a collective viewing thing, which was awesome. And he has a new movie about to come out called Preternatural, which I've also had a chance to see. I got an advanced copy of that, and it's fucking brilliant. I really really enjoyed that. A quite interesting take on the found footage genre, so you should check that out when it makes its way to a format that you can check. However, Andy is part of a group of musicians called How to Dress a Monster, which I think is one of the coolest names of a band I've heard in a little while. Their first single they've released from their upcoming release is called Scapegoat, and I'm going to be playing it just in a couple of seconds here. But what I would advise you all to do is go and check these guys out. They have an Instagram page, it's at How to Dress a Monster. You can follow them on Twitter at HTDA M Band, so it's just an acronym basically of the letters of the first name. You can follow them on Facebook, facebook.com/dressamonster, and you can listen to their stuff on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/howtodressamonster. So you're going to hear some promos for shows that I love, then you're going to hear Scapegoat. Right after that, I'm going to be back to talk about my final two movies of this bonus episode. Check this shit out. I'll be right back after this.
It's 8 o'clock. Is it time to get the show on the screen or what?
Do you enjoy watching films with friends?
Do you like to consume vats of alcohol?
It's the 40s and some bitches, babe. Yeah!
Me? I like beer. If you like all that and none of those artsy-fartsy films...
Does this mean we don't get to go to the Fellini Festival?
Fuck the Fellini Festival?
Then watch and listen to Two Drink Minimum Commentaries.
Every Wednesday, myself and a rotating panel of the filthiest podcasters I can muster up give you our comments, observations, and sometimes we might actually talk about the film as we class up some of your favorite films the only way we know how, as raunchy as we can.
What's this movie, PG?
Oh, yeah. This podcast sure is fucking...
Not only do you get the audio, but the video that goes with it.
Just listen to the shit that comes out of these filthy pirates.
You don't need to get an erection when your cock's full of rigor mortis.
Fucking curb stomp a baby for a baconator right now.
I think the moral of the story is, don't let Corky run Cerebro.
Unforgivable. If you could stand all that, come and get your fill and your fix of Two Drink Minimum Commentaries.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Two Drink Minimum Commentaries is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network.
You know those old-time radio shows with the married couples who bicker about the kids and the car and the neighbors? Our podcast is a lot like that.
Yeah. Well, if you replace the kids, the car, and the neighbors with devil movies, theology, and vodka.
My name is X.
And I'm Cootie.
And we are the hosts of Kiss the Goat, a different kind of movie podcast.
Every episode, we review a devil movie. You know, possessions, exorcisms, the Antichrist, and we stomp a mud hole in it, even if we like it.
We are huge fans of comparative religion, and we love to compare real belief systems with what Hollywood seems to think belief systems are.
But don't think we're not civic-minded, because each episode includes our Satan in the News segment, where our fearless correspondent, Sin Fallon, documents the eternal struggle between good and evil.
And, as high-functioning alcoholics, we give every movie its own drinking game, so that you can enjoy the movie just like we did, ripped to the tits.
And there is ever so much more to the show than that, and let me tell you, it ain't for kids.
Hell, it ain't for most adults.
But it might be for you.
You won't know until you listen to Kiss the Goat exclusively on the Legion Network of Podcasts.
That's Kiss the Goat. We're the lighter side.
Of the dark side.
Twin Towers, either way, it's easy.
And welcome back. So, Deathgasm, directed by Jason Lee Howden, written by Jason Lee Howden, and the movie stars Milo Cawthorn, James Blake, Kimberly Crossman, Sam Berkeley, Daniel Cresswell, Delaney Tabron, Stephen Ure, Colin Moy, other folks. Synopsis for this movie is two teenage boys unwittingly summon an ancient evil entity known as the Blind One by delving into black magic while trying to escape their mundane lives. This one comes from New Zealand and to me has now solidified, put the crown on top of the head of New Zealand as the country that kicks ass in horror comedies. Last year we had What We Do in the Shadows and we had a little movie called Housebound, two movies I fucking loved, and this year Deathgasm, a movie which FYI I fucking love. This movie's totally in my wheelhouse. Did you hear that, Andy Blockley? In my wheelhouse. It has everything that I love all in one movie. It has Evil Dead-esque, over-the-top, ridiculous gore. It has a bitchin' metal soundtrack. It deals with the absurdity of corpse paint. Sorry for all you corpse paint wearers out there. It is a bit absurd, and I love the look of people in corpse paint in this movie going to like the grocery store and stuff like that. It's just mental. But yeah, what the central premise of the story is that a guy who is a bit of an outcast bumps into another guy who's a bit of a kick-ass outcast. They form a band. He kind of takes him down the garden path, so to speak, into more miscreant behaviour. And they come across this manuscript, this sheet of music by an aging rocker, which appears to have a tune on it, which they kind of decipher, play. It's kind of like a doom metal song, which evokes this spirit, the Blind One. And then all shit starts breaking loose. And this group of musicians and this love interest take to the street with all manner of weapons, axes, guns, sex toys, to kind of defeat the enemy, defeat the Blind One. It is an insane riot of a movie. I had so much fun watching this one. It just gave me everything I want. The gore is mostly practical. It's pretty much fully practical. I think that stands the movie in good stead. But I just like the performances. I thought the performances were really, really funny. The characters are all memorable. They're not all likeable, but the main group of characters were insanely likeable. And the absurdity of the story, just one of those. You can imagine this movie coming out in the 1980s. And I mean that in a good way and not a kind of disparaging way. It just has that kind of goofy 1980s feel, but it's handled by a group of actors, and I would imagine filmmakers as well, who had a lot of fun making it. And that kind of permeates through it. I found myself just like thinking halfway through this movie, this is fucking kick-ass. And I don't, once again, I don't often find myself saying that with movies either, but this one is, it's short, sharp, it's about an hour and a half long, gets in, gets the job done, gets out, entertains you. If there was a sequel to Deathgasm, I would check that one out as well. The main female character in it is absolutely smoking hot, it's ridiculous. And like I say, the blood is visceral, it's gory, it's red, and it's fucking everywhere in this movie. Deathgasm is another one I highly recommend. It comes out in Blu-ray in the UK early next year, and it is a first day purchase for me. I can't wait to own that movie. Which takes me to the final movie that I want to discuss on these movies that I have loved over October, and this one hands down is in my top three movies of the year. Not just horror movies, my top three movies of the year. I will say up front, I've now seen this movie four times and I think it's fucking incredible. It's a little horror western by first time director S. Craig Zahler. It stars Patrick Wilson, it stars Lily Simmons, Kurt Russell, Zan McLaren, Sean Young, Matthew Fox, Sid Haig, David Arquette, Richard Jenkins, other folks. It's a little movie called Bone Tomahawk, a small indie horror cannibal western. Synopsis on IMDb is: four men set out into the Wild West to rescue a group of captives from cannibalistic cave dwellers. This movie is fucking awesome. Oh my god, where to begin with this one? So Patrick Wilson's wife, played by Lily Simmons, and a deputy sheriff of this very small kind of Wild West town are kidnapped, and we find that they're kidnapped by a kind of offshoot of American Indians, Native Americans, who are considered Morlocks. They live in caves, they're cannibals, they don't speak, they communicate in weird bestial noises. And our sheriff, played by the rather fantastic Kurt Russell, is joined by a group of people: Patrick Wilson, Matthew Fox from Lost, who it was great to see him back in a movie, it's been a wee while since I saw him, and some other folks, kind of venture out into the West, 5-day journey, to track down this group and rescue Patrick Wilson's wife. And the movie takes a series of twists and turns. It's a slow burn, but in the best way. So when people use the slow burn tag, sometimes that people are using that as an excuse for a movie just not doing anything. That's not necessarily true. The last half an hour of this movie is certainly action-packed, but we go through a huge amount of character development to get to that point. So we really start delving into the history of the characters, finding out basically why they are the way they are. It's especially characters like Matthew Fox's character, who is one of the more interesting ones in the movie. I think Kurt Russell, I don't think I've ever seen a movie with Kurt Russell that I didn't like his performance, but he's phenomenal in this movie. And I don't want to spoil this one either, so I'm going to have to kind of cock-tease you on this one as well. Sorry. But the last half an hour of this movie has a particular scenes of violence which will stand out there as some of the best shot, goriest, graphic, stomach-turning scenes of graphic violence and horror that I have seen in cinema this year. I think this movie is absolutely fucking incredible. If I was to give it a score on the podcast Under the Stairs, this one would get 5 out of 5 with a motherfucking bullet. There's not that many horror westerns. I think it's a genre which is, well, subgenre, sorry, which is incredibly limited, which works kind of two ways for it. If there's a bad movie, it is instantly memorable because there's not that many to try and get your head round. But when there's a good movie, it kind of transcends out, and this one definitely falls into that latter camp. I'd be interested to see what this Zahler guy goes on to do next. He is a musician, I believe, who has recently kind of turned his hand to doing kind of movies and stuff. And this is his first one as a director. He did all the score for the movie as well, I believe, as well as wrote it and directed it. And he managed to catch Kurt Russell just after recording a new Tarantino movie, The Hateful Eight. So he's still kind of wearing that bitching sort of facial here, which makes him like all the more authentic in the role. But this movie is incredible. To me, at the end of this year, the one that I will probably be doing the most pimping of to everyone is Bone Tomahawk. I think it is mandatory viewing for anyone that calls himself a horror fan, anyone that's just a fan of cinema. This is how you do an indie horror movie. It didn't have a big budget, but this is how you fucking do it. And the acting is on an incredible standard, and the characters are great as well. It works. It is almost a flawless movie for me, which, once again, is a phrase that I don't often use when recording the podcast Under the Stairs. So yeah, final movie that I would recommend is A Bone Tomahawk. So there we go. So that's the four films that I would suggest that you guys go and check out. Hopefully you enjoy them as much as I did. I really like Bone Tomahawk for the motherfucking win this year, honestly. Oh, that movie, I love it so much. But yeah, what we're going to do just now is take a short break. You're going to hear some promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear another music clip that I have picked especially for this show, because we're celebrating my return from the void back under the stairs on this bonus episode. I'm going to be back to close the show, and at the very end of the show you're going to hear the audio recording I recorded earlier on today, reading out the details of the note left by my captors. I'm going to be right back to close out the show right after this.
Hi, I'm Mike White.
And I'm Rob St. Mary.
And we're the hosts of the Projection Booth podcast.
If you haven't heard of the Projection Booth, that's okay.
But we think it's time that you have.
We've been doing this for over 3 years now.
And we think we're doing a pretty good show.
Every week we look at a different film and put it in context.
We try to bring you interviews with the people behind the films.
Or experts on a subject matter covered in the film.
We don't specialize in any one particular genre or type of film.
We try to examine every aspect of cinema.
From every corner of the globe.
Even at 3 years, we barely just scratched the surface.
But we're ready. We're ready for you to listen to us.
That's right. Now's the time to give us a shot.
Download us through our free smartphone app.
Or through Stitcher, iTunes, Geek Juice Radio, Jackalope.
Or our website.
Projection-booth.com.
We'll keep making great shows.
Now it's your turn to listen.
Stairs. And you've been listening to this bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs, where I have discussed some movies I checked out in October, just briefly, ones that I would recommend that you go out and check for those paying attention. It was The Gift, The Final Girls. I also checked out Deathgasm, love that movie, and The Almighty Bone Tomahawk. Four suggestions from myself of movies that I think you might like to check out, so make sure you do. Now, like I said at the start of this episode, there is a ton of content still to come before the end of 2015, and we are rolling closely to the end of this year. I can't believe how quickly it has flown in, but there is tons of things coming up on the podcast Under the Stairs to get you through the painstaking, arduous task of buying Christmas presents for people and trying to be cheery when really you're a miserable bastard. Next week I'll be joined by the Baz, and we will be celebrating in true Scottish fashion with alcohol and maybe naked. I don't know. If Baz gets his way, I'll probably be naked. But if the car battery, jump leads, and lubricant comes out, I'm out of there. There will be a Duncan-shaped hole on the side of the Baz's house, right at the Baz's fucking funky kitchen, the sexy kitchen. Oh, I can't wait to be back there. It's been a year, it's been a whole year since I was there. But yeah, so we will be discussing, we'll be having fun really, just riffing on the second year, the highs, the lows of Baz v Horror. The week after that, I'll be joined with one of my podcasting compadres, one of my dear friends in the podcast community actually, Mr. Johnny Krug. We are going to continue our look at some blaxploitation horror movies. Up on that show, we'll be doing Blackenstein, and we'll be doing Dr. Black and Mr. Hyde. I can't wait to do that show. Always have a blast chatting with my main man Johnny Krug, who recently got some pretty fucking cool news about some commentaries he's going to be doing for Vinegar Syndrome releases. Hopefully I'll be able to chip him for some answers for you, and see if he can divulge some exclusives directly on the podcast Under the Stairs. You never know. Maybe if we ply him with enough drink, he'll become loose-lipped and let something slip. But yeah, the week after that, I'll be joined by Jeff X Martin and Doug Tilly, and we're going to be continuing our look at Fulci. This time, the end of Fulci's career, his last three giallo movies before the great man passed away in the very early 1990s. I can't wait for that. It has been several months since I discussed some Fulci, and I have an itch that only a Fulci discussion will scratch. It's always a blast chatting with Jeff X Martin and Doug Tilly, my compadres in this Fulci sort of retrospective. I don't know if it quite qualifies that, but it's always fun chatting to them anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. There are another bunch of shows as well coming up before the end of the year, as well as the end of year assessment for Baz v Horror. Baz's trip into Horror High is coming to an end for its first year, and he will be taking on the Evil Dead franchise with special guest mentors from other podcasts. I mentioned them on the previous show. Baz will sit down with John Rhodes from Graveshift Radio, and they're going to be doing the Evil Dead. Then he's going to face off with Bo Ransdell, who's going to take him through the Evil Dead 2. And then he's going to be sitting down with Danny Trioxin, and they're going to be doing Army of Darkness. And then the former co-host with the most, the ghastly Graham Humphrey, will be coming back on this show to do the Evil Dead remake with Baz. It's going to be one epically long show, all contained. Baz's end of year assessment, first year in Horror High, coming up soon. I also want to just say at the end of the show, and this is not because I'm trying to pad time out, I do a lot of other shows. I sometimes get slagged by podcasters, get the mickey taken out of me for how much stuff I actually do podcasting wise, but I'm sometimes remiss in mentioning all the shows on this show and where people can check them out. So myself and Andy Blockley from the Big Horror and Little podcast have been doing a show which is about to finish. It's only got basically three episodes left, so in the next 5 weeks that show will finish for good. It's called Doing the Nasty. It's a Video Nasties exclusive podcast. Since January, myself and Andy have been taking three movies from the Video Nasty list, the list of 72, the prosecuted and non-prosecuted titles, and going through and reviewing them on the show with a unique grading system and looking a bit into, not fully in depth, but a bit into the aura of what surrounded that time in UK, and why we think some of these movies may have made the banned list. So that show is called Doing Nasty. You can listen to it exclusively on Horophilia. If you have not listened to it before, then go and check us out. We have 21 episodes up online at the moment that you can check out, so go and check that out. It's a lot of fun, and it's good to chat with Andy. Andy's a good guy. So I have that show. I also do the Midnight Horror Show, which you will have heard the promo for pretty much every show that I've ever done. The promo for the Midnight Horror Show plays. That is a live radio show that you can check out, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States. It's internet radio, so you can listen to it all over the world by going to tmhsradio.com, or mobile listeners can use the TuneIn app and just search TMHS Radio. We are on a short hiatus. We are coming back not next week, but the week after, live on Wednesday. But there's also a podcast feed. If you search the Midnight Horror Show, you will find it, and some of our back catalogue is there for you to check out. It's a lot of fun. We're going to be doing a top 20 list really soon, which proves to be the most difficult list we've ever compiled on the show, and you guys get a say in that list, so check out the Facebook page. I'll be posting about it. Graveshift Radio, the enigma known as Graveshift Radio, the mythical entity, there is a rumour on the street that we are coming back. We're coming back sooner than you think, so keep your eyes open for that one. We've got a special send off for one of our co-hosts over there, which is no surprise, because I think everyone knows this is coming, but we're going to go out in style with that co-host before we start a huge retrospective looking at the Alien and Predator franchises, coupled up with movies from Europe, European horror movies that I've selected specifically for the show. So I'm looking forward to sitting back down with John, Ryan and Bo and shooting the shit with those guys. So that'll be coming up real soon, so keep your eyes open for that. I also do a show called Duncan and Bo Come Correct with Bo Ransdell. It is not horror per se, but we have covered horror movies in the past. It's basically a competition where myself and Bo pick movies that the other person hasn't seen within a particular genre or subject matter, and then we debate on the show who had the better suggestion of the movies. That show is well into its second season now. I think we're about 6 episodes in, and the competition couldn't be any closer. You can check out that show exclusively on Legion Podcast Network, so check that one out. Oh my god, is there any more? Yeah, there's one more. I do a show for those that like their horror, like their punk, rock and metal, then you might want to check out Rock and Reel Reviews podcast. It can be searched on iTunes by typing in all one word, Rock and Reel Reviews. That's R-E-E-L Reviews, and we have 60 shows over there, probably 61 by the time this drops. We listen to music live on the show, bands that you've never heard of before, or maybe bands that you have heard of. You'll get to hear exclusives from their upcoming albums, as well as talk about music news and movie news on that show. It's a lot of fun. Dave from Rock and Reel Reviews has been on the show a few times, great guy. And if you want to read the reviews that we write about those things, you can check that out at rockandreelreviews.com. Oh my god, is there anything else? Yeah, one more thing I need to promote. You've probably seen on the Facebook page that I have a new show coming in January. This one is a labour of love. I've been working on it now for close to 2 months, and it proves to be my highest production valued show, as well as something which I don't think is discussed enough in podcasting, and just in general, and that is the impact of European horror cinema. For those that don't know, horror cinema was birthed in Europe. This is where it started. And I will be looking over a series of seasons, movies that define certain subgenres. The podcast is called Chronicle, and it's dubbed an almanac of old world horror. You can find it on Facebook now. We have a group page. There's not a lot getting posted on it because there's no episode out yet, but it's on the old Facebook. It's facebook.com/groups/chronicle podcast. So go and show it a bit of love. We've got some followers over there, and that first show and more details of it will be dropping very, very soon. The first show dropping in January. Can't wait to get that show out. So there we go. That's a lot of pimping. A lot of pimping and stuff. But hopefully, hopefully you get a chance to check out some of those other shows that I'm involved with and show those guys some love. The horror podcast community in general is just the coolest community out there. Some of the warmest, most generous people that I've ever met, and without them the podcast Under the Stairs would not exist. Also, without yourselves, the podcast Under the Stairs would not exist. And there are several ways that you can help me on this show. One of the most important ways is if you are an iTunes subscriber or you want to listen to the show on iTunes, if you leave us a review over there, if it's 5 stars, for example, the more of them I get, the higher up the ratings I get pushed, the more likely randoms will come across the show, and hopefully they'll stay and continue to listen to it, and in turn, also leave nice reviews of the show. Pimp us to your friends. That's a huge thing. If you know anyone that likes horror and hasn't checked out the podcast Under the Stairs, let them know. Get them to join the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. Or get them to join the Twitter page, which Baz admins, which is @teapotscast. And bring them over there and get them involved with the great conversations we have over there. It's been so much fun recently, just checking out what everyone watched for their Halloween time, their October. So it was a great time actually, just seeing a massive list of movies which I know that all the listeners were checking out, which is cool as fuck. There's that as well. You can listen to us through our website, which is podcastunderthestairs.wordpress.com, and that'll give you links to the SoundCloud page, which is where all these shows are hosted, so you can listen to the entire back catalogue. I recently had issues with SoundCloud, but as a result of that, the iTunes feed now has all the episodes, the entire back catalogue. It's not limited to 50 anymore. The entire back catalogue of Podcasts Under the Stairs shows, so you can actually go back and check out to see where we started, which is nuts. Right back at the very beginning with Child's Play. Holy fuck. August 2013, dear God. You can do that as well. You can also listen to us through the Legion Podcast Network. We are a proud member of that show, that podcasting network, surrounded by a multitude of fantastic movie, gaming, and just awesome podcasters. You should check that out. Subscribe over there and listen to some of the fantastic shows, shows that I love to listen to myself. So if you get a chance, that would be brilliant. I don't think I have anything else left to say. This is a very, very long ending to a podcast, but I feel the need to get it all out now that I'm back Under the Stairs. It is so good to be back here, and I will not take for granted or use any sourced uranium to power any sort of machines just now. I'm going to be quite happy with the audience I've got, and I'm not going to try and reach other worlds with it now. I'm going to jump out just now. Like I said, after this musical clip, you're going to hear a recording I did earlier on, which details exactly what was listed in my captor's note that they left when they returned me. Oh, I'm going to be back next week drinking with the Baz. Oh my God, I can't wait. It's going to be anarchy. Anarchy in the UK. Let's do this. But until then, please take care of yourselves out there, wherever you are. I'm going to be back in 1 week's time. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Motherfucking Stairs, signing off. Dear Mr. McLeish, you may be wondering why you've been released, why you were taken captive, or even why any of the last year happened to you. The truth is that you constructed a device which did, in fact, create a bridge between worlds and universes. However, the power source was unreliable. We, the American Intelligence Agency, were monitoring your original experiment of November 2014, and when the device shorted out, we used flash grenades and a taser to knock you out and transport you to a military installation south of Cuba. Don't try to find it, as it does not exist on any maps. For the past year, we've used a combination of psychotropic drugs and suggestion to make you crack and explain the vital design schematics for the device. However, you did not cooperate, and by the time you worked out who had actually abducted you, we had no choice than to terminate the operations. We have, however, left you a present in the corner of your recording area. The turndial we gave you is still ready and connected. Should you ever be bold or brave enough to use it, turn the dial exactly 4 times and you will be the first human on this planet to initiate a minor temporal warp. This warp will allow you to travel back in time and advise yourself in 2014 not to create the device. This will ultimately mean that you will never come in contact with our operations and our mission will never exist. Please use with caution. This is a last resort if you can no longer live with the memories of the void. Keep away from any other devices and be thankful for the audience you have. We will be listening.